We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
There are a couple of special guys here tonight, and I'll talk about one of them, and he's real special, and I'll talk about him in a minute, but there's two special guys here who have come with Mike. They are local area pastors, and they are in the trenches. They came tonight to be encouraged. Met with them at 4 o'clock, then they came to our discipleship meeting. And where are you guys? I can't see you. Can you slip your hands up? There's Stacy and Bo. Would you just give them a special welcome tonight? We're glad you guys are here. And these are guys that are striving to really get discipleship implemented and started. And guys, our heart to you tonight is we hope you've been encouraged, and we hope that we've been a blessing to you as a church. And we just want to love on you and thankful that you are here. And then, of course, Brother Mike is here. Mike was on staff at Idlewild with Pastor Ken for many years, and then God led him into a different ministry. He's the president of the Tampa Bay Baptist Association and working with local churches, local pastors, church planners. And just so you get a sense of how we got to this point and why he's even here tonight, several years ago, I shared with the church this morning, several years ago, God began to deal with my heart about a couple things, and one of those things was discipleship. And I was so impressed by God. Up here by myself. I don't know if you guys have ever been taken to the woodshed by God. Can I get a witness? Don't leave me up here by myself. But the Lord was dealing with my heart about discipleship and getting it started in the church. And so a long story, what I won't bore you with, but I actually got connected with Mike at a meeting. And I was listening to this man who I'd never met. I had no idea who he was. I was just listening to this guy talk to a room full of about, I don't know, maybe 20 pastors. And I thought, man, this guy is talking my language. He is just keeping pace with my thought processes. And as soon as the meeting was over, I kind of just, you know, put him in a headlock. And I didn't really do that. But I said, Mike, I need to talk with you. I need to meet with you. And he said, well, I'd love to do that. And so he came down, met Pastor Micah and I at a Starbucks. Hallelujah. And we sat there, and I think probably for a couple hours. I just asked him question after question. And Mike just was like a dump truck of information. He just kept pouring out information and sharing with me, and ended up just dropping just a plethora of stuff that we could do. And I left the meeting excited, but almost more overwhelmed, thinking, how will we ever get this implemented into the church? And how can we get this started? I don't just want our church to look at discipleship as an appendage. I want it to be who we are and what we're doing. Like we talked about this morning, we don't want to train, you know, consumers. We want to teach Christ followers. Amen, church? We don't want to be customers. We want to be Christians. We want to be followers of Christ. And so I was really struggling. And then, where's Todd? Wara, are you in here? There's Todd. And I want to publicly right now thank Todd for his help in this ministry. Can we thank him for the great job he's been doing? Todd kind of came into the body life of the church, and he and I just began to develop a friendship. And Todd is not just excited about discipleship. He's just ate up with it. He just loves it. And he said, Pastor, let me help you. I want to be involved. And so I said, okay, I have a job for you. And I literally took all that information that you gave me and said, here, Todd, here's a ministry opportunity for you. And Todd quickly got back with me, introduced me to Downline a Reality. Since then, Mike, I said, you know anybody doing this? He said, I don't. And the more we began to flush it out, it just became a reality. Since then, Mike and I have been talking and have had him back for a training session. And I had him here tonight because, Mike, you've been a friend to me. You've been a help to me. You've been an encouragement to me. I know your heart and passion is to help churches and to help pastors and to help the church maybe once again realize what her true calling is, not to build buildings and design programs and have nice budgets, but to be a church that is building Christ followers and impacting the world that way. And I think that's our true calling as a church, and it's something we need to do. And so I've asked Mike to come tonight. I want him to share what's on his heart. He's got a great message. You say, how do you know? Because I saw his notes. And so we talked. And so if you would, Mike, would you come? Church, would you make Brother Mike Kahn welcome as he comes?
Thank you, brother. Well, what a joy it is to be with you here tonight. And folks, I'm telling you, I get to work with about 160 churches in Hillsborough County primarily. And Not a lot of them have this many people at Sunday night church. Oh, amen? I mean, I'm just telling you, so this is an exciting thing. God's up to something, and Sunday night church isn't necessarily what tells you what's going on at church, but this is some great worship, Chad. Where are you? I mean, just incredible, engaging, and you sharing from Psalm 51. And this is rather unique, and I pray that it won't be unique in the days ahead, that in our churches in Hillsborough County, we'll just sense a fresh move of God like Faith Baptist Church is experiencing. Pastor Todd, thank you for your authenticity and your friendship and for this privilege of sharing this sacred desk, which I know you protect, and rightfully so, in doing that. And so I want to just take the few minutes I have, and he told me that at 7 o'clock that the floor opens up and I go down, and but as long as I have a microphone, I can speak from down there. So I'm aware of, you know, getting to the point and so forth. But I don't know how many of you are into marketing. I'm not. I'm a former engineer, and engineers are not about logos. He's turned pastor many years ago. But if you know much about marketing, you know about logos and so forth. And FedEx has an interesting logo. And I'm not here to promote FedEx. You're going to see where this all ties in. But how many of you have seen that logo before? Okay, you see them on the trucks and their billboards and all that sort of stuff. Now, this is church, okay? You realize this is church. So I'm going to ask you a question. You need to be honest. Okay, don't lie. I just want to know, how many of you have seen the arrow in the FedEx logo? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you. Okay, good. Now, if you're looking at it and going, what arrow? It's between the capital E in the X. Do you see the white arrow? Okay, are you seeing it? Do you see the capital E? And now it's kind of like staring at the picture where you see Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? What you need to do is get about 6 inches. No, I'm just kidding. Now, are a lot of you seeing it? Hello. Can I get a witness? Okay, if some of you didn't see it, the sermon's going to make no sense. But believe me, there is an arrow there between those two horizontal lines. And it was put there strategically. It wasn't accidentally put there. FedEx had a reason for that. They're marketing people. You know, they pay them big bucks. And sometimes they know what they're doing. You know, the arrow defined. Here, look at the next slide here. The arrow defined. Here's what FedEx says. And hopefully you can see that. This arrow represents for FedEx forward direction, represents movement, speed, and precision. Now, that next sentence tells you where I'm going to go in this message. Don't miss that first sentence. See, for FedEx employees, they understand the logo, and they understand that arrow's there. Now, I had never seen it till someone pointed it out to me about 6 months ago. Probably most of you had never seen it until someone pointed it out to you. But the FedEx employees are taught that that arrow means forward direction, movement. You know that, and it's a little vision. It's not just the CEO knows that, and the marketing gurus know that, and it's a little secret. You know, hey, we know what's going on here. You know? No, they're trained to understand what that logo means. And FedEx is all about that. I mean, if you meet a FedEx employee, they're not sitting around taking her easy. You know what I'm talking about? I get intimidated because, yeah, will you sign this? Yes, sir. You know, and they're off and they're going. And they're speed, direction, forward movement, precision. You get it? FedEx has it. And ladies and gentlemen, I kind of feel like in the church, and praise God for this church, for what's happening, that there's been an arrow in the Word of God. The arrow's there, it's clear, but somehow I didn't see it for years. Somehow many Christians don't see that arrow that God has. It's not between the E and the X, it's between Genesis and Revelation. And it's an arrow that God wants all His people, not just the pastor to see it, not just the CEO of the church, but pastor, not just the staff of the church, He wants every member in the church to see the arrow. In the Bible, which is the Great Commission, it's discipleship. It's there. I don't know why I missed it for so long. I don't know why so many believers can miss it. We read our Bibles and we're just not aware of that arrow of discipleship. And so I want to talk about that tonight because I want us to rediscover what the Scripture says so clearly about this wonderful thing called discipleship. and how we can get this arrow back into the church, and not just into the church, but into the lives of the believers in the church, so that every one of us understand we have the privilege and the responsibility of implementing this arrow of discipleship in our lives as individuals. And so I want to talk to you tonight about God's only plan to reach the world. It's His only plan. It hasn't changed. It's the arrow. The arrow's been here for years. It's going to stay here for years. I'm talking about the great commission, the world, the arrow. Now, when I call it the arrow, understand I'm talking about the great commission, the arrow of discipleship. And God wants us to get in on that individually. He wants everyone in on that. And when that happens, I believe the world can be reached with the glorious gospel. And so I've got three simple points. We're going to look at the penetration of this arrow of discipleship. We're going to look at the person of the arrow of discipleship. And then we're going to look at the people of the arrow of discipleship. Three quick points here tonight in this regard to the arrow. So put aside FedEx now, because we're not concentrating on that. We're talking about the arrow of what? Discipleship. Say it with me. The arrow of what? Discipleship. That's right. And so we need the penetration of the arrow of discipleship. When you look at the life of Jesus, there's a lot of things Jesus did, and He did them all well, didn't He? He did them perfectly. One of the things He did, He preached. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it's in Luke. Greatest sermon ever preached. Greatest preacher that ever lived. I know you love your pastor and preacher, but Jesus was a great preacher, wasn't He? Amen? But what else did Jesus do besides preach? He healed. He cast out demons. He loved the unlovely. But if you look at the life of Jesus, over 3 years, what is something else that He faithfully did with His 12? He discipled them. He poured His life into these 12, and one of them, the Bible says, ended up being a devil. That happens in discipleship too. You pour your life into some people and some things happen. But Jesus discipled. And I didn't see it. I got saved at 15. I was going along in a Baptist church, being a good Baptist, attending. If the doors were open, bless God, Mike was there. Amen? Hey, something, I didn't hear an amen. Amen? Amen? Okay, that's how we used to measure it, man. I was there for slide Mike, you know, higher, and for visitation. And, you know, if I wasn't there, it was like, would you backslide Mike? You know, I mean, it's just the measurement was just involvement and activity. And it wasn't until sometime later that I began to see this arrow that I had been missing, that my church had been missing. Jesus discipled, I knew that, but I don't know what I was thinking, but something happened in my life. It was a turning point. It was an aha moment. It's like when you saw the arrow in the FedEx. Oh, okay, I'll never miss it again. I've never missed it. Age 22 to 23, I had a pastor at our church start discipling some people. He approached me to be in his first group. I was a 22-year-old. He was like, Pastor, what are you talking about? I go to Sunday school. I'm at church when the door, you know, what do you, hey, Mike, I'd like to disciple you. I see in you some really, some hunger and thirst for God. I'd like to pour into you the things of God. And I said, man, I loved my pastor. I respected my pastor. I didn't really understand it. I said, yes. And there were about six of us in this group, probably a little larger than what I'd recommend, but bless God, I'll take it, man. And for 7 weeks, I mean, it was brief, 7 weeks, he poured into us what it meant to really walk with God, what it meant to live with Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, what it meant to love the Word of God and devour the Word of God, and to be burdened for lost people and want to share the gospel. And something glorious happened in those 7 weeks. The arrow of discipleship penetrated my heart. It got down into the very depths of who Mike Kahn is at age 22 to 23. And I'm just telling you, 33 years later, it hasn't gotten out. It penetrated into me. It convicted me. And it became part of my DNA. And I went from being one who didn't see the arrow at all, and our church didn't see the arrow at all, as a 23-year-old, Graham is great stuff, material. The pastor didn't tell me to use his Roots program, which was used by Billy Graham, is great stuff. I just came up with my own stuff. I didn't know any better, but the arrow had penetrated me. And I was looking to say, I've been discipled, and I want to disciple others. And so immediately I began looking for one or two men and started pouring into one or two men's lives. And they didn't know what discipleship was either, and I was learning. But there's the penetration of the arrow. When it just overwhelms us and it starts to cause us to say, I see this book differently now. I see ministry differently now. Oh yes, I continue to go there every time the doors were open. But I also was meeting with a couple men at an odd hour, just when it was the three of us, pouring what I knew into them and watching their lives change. And we need the penetration of the arrow. Jesus said it this way, we're familiar with it. I had heard it before until the arrow penetrated my heart. Matthew 28:18-19 Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Jesus said, what's that first phrase? Go therefore and as you go, make disciples. Folks, I'd seen it, but I'd overlooked it. It took someone investing in me to help me understand the arrow. And I'm excited, Pastor Todd, that the church here, Faith Baptist Church, is saying, you know what? We're going to be an intentionally discipling church. And my desire and their desire is for more and more people to see that and say, count me in. I want to be discipled. I want to be a disciple maker. I see it. We find in 2 Timothy 2:2, the Apostle Paul writes these words to his beloved son in the faith. And he says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, Timothy, I want you to take what you've heard from me and entrust it to four generations who will be able to do what with it, church? Teach others also. There's four generations here. Paul to Timothy, to faithful men, to the faithful men that those faithful men teach. It's generation after generation after generation. And what's so exciting about this, it doesn't take the greatest skill level to do this. See, for me to be up here in front of you tonight, you go, oh, he's a pastor. He's the head of the association. He does this all the time. I was so shy until I was about 25. I could not get in front of more than five or six people without breaking out in a sweat. I mean, just a cold sweat. It was terrible to ask me to do that. But what I could do is I can meet with one or two people and disciple them. See, I can have conversations with people. Just don't make me do public speaking. How many of you are afraid of public speaking? Raise your hand. Okay, same ones who saw the FedEx arrow. That's interesting. But many of us are afraid to get up and teach even a Sunday school class of 25 people or whatever. But all of us can talk one-on-one or one-on-two with someone, and that's what discipleship is. And so I got excited when I started to understand that Paul poured into Timothy, who poured into faithful men, who poured into more faithful men, and generation after generation after generation, the early church was a discipling church. And I thought, I can do that. And that's why as a 23-year-old, without knowing a whole lot other than my heart had been penetrated, that I was going to start investing in people's lives. Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul writes and tells that church that God gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors or shepherds and teachers. But here's what they do. They equip the saints, and the saints do the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. As Pastor Todd and other pastors preach, they equip the saints, but it's not just through preaching, it's through equipping and through discipling and through Sunday school and through all the many ways the teaching takes place so that the church can then do the work of ministry. So if you're here tonight and you're saying, well, I could never disciple. Yes, you can. But that arrow of discipleship has to penetrate your heart like it did mine 33 plus years ago. And I said, I just can't get away from it. I don't want to get away from it. One of the greatest privileges I have is to pour my life into the lives of others. And what a privilege it is for every one of us to do that. And I am so thankful for Faith Baptist Church that you're following that vision. And so first of all, folks, there is the penetration of the arrow. Secondly, there's the person of the arrow. The person of the arrow. See, this arrow of discipleship isn't a movement. It isn't a plan. It isn't a strategy. It is those things, but it's all about a person, and his name's Jesus. It's all about a relationship. This isn't for the militant Green Beret, you know, Navy SEAL Christians who get up at 3:30 and memorize Matthew 5 in their quiet time, and they know the Hebrew and Greek word for everything. God bless them, man. This is for the average people who are in love with Jesus, who are learning to love Jesus more and more. That can be all of us, folks. It's not for the talented. It's not for the eloquent. But this discipleship is all about a person. And it's our Savior. And Jesus said it this way. He was asked one time, what's the greatest commandment in the Bible? That's kind of, you know, I paraphrase it there. And he, without hesitating, says in Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. See, this discipleship thing is calling people to a love relationship with Jesus Christ. He's first. He's supreme. He deserves to be. As frail and as stupid and as sinful as I am, even as a saved individual, he's worthy. And I'm not discipling because it's what Faith Baptist Church is doing. I'm discipling because I want people. Here's this person of Jesus. I want them to have the abundant life that he offers. And so there's this person of the arrow. Jesus said it this way in John 15, which is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. It's the passage where he talks about the vine and the branches. He's probably standing by a beautiful grapevine, and he's saying that he's the vine and we as his disciples are the branches. And he says in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? For apart from me, you can do nothing. But he invites us as vine and branch to be attached to him, to be connected to him, to be dependent on him, so that his grace and his provision flows through us as branches and we get to bear fruit. But who's really doing it? It's Christ in us. I'm remaining in him. I'm dwelling in him, abiding in him. It's relationship. It's the person of discipleship. And discipleship calls us to fall in love with Jesus and not be this militant, you know, radical Christian. Yes, radical in some good ways, because Jesus is supreme. Jesus said it this way in Luke 9:23. He said, if anyone would come after me or be my disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. That's where it's tough. I have my good moments. Do you have your good moments? Woo, Sunday's a good day. Woo, Monday's not so good. You know, I'm not talking, Friday's better. But Monday, you know, so, but he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. He's calling us, he's commanding us as people of discipleship to deny ourselves, to say, it's not about me, Jesus. We sang about this all night long here tonight. To deny ourselves and to do it continually, to do it tomorrow and the next day. And to put him first in our lives. And that's the call of the arrow of discipleship. And that's why I think a lot of people, I've got to bow the knee or don't disciple, because they start to understand, wow, I've got to bow the knee. I've got to submit. This isn't Jesus as Savior. This is Jesus as Lord. This is Jesus as Master, as Sovereign, in control, calling the shots of every area of my life. I didn't quite understand that when I got saved, but I'm just telling you, he's worth it. And ladies and gentlemen, he calls us to deny ourselves. And I say it this way. I have been married for 32 years to my wife, and she's a sweetheart, and we have three children. And we both love our three children, but I'm just telling you, she's a mama. She loves, you know, our kids are older now and so forth. But when they were little, she breastfed all three of our kids, praise God, because when they woke in the middle of the night, I'd say, honey, go get them. I'm trying to sleep, you know. And she's got the equipment. I mean, it's just okay. But I'll just tell you this, and I'm sorry, Todd, maybe I shouldn't be. But I'm just telling you, my wife will tell you that she loved caring for our kids in that way. And for her to say, well, Gina, you know, you denied yourself a lot of sleep those years. That was really tough, wasn't it? Don't you regret it? I mean, don't you wish you'd never had children? She'd look at me like, what in the world are you? What a privilege it was, because I love my kids, to deny myself a little bit of sleep to care for them and to nurture them and to now watch them grow up and be Christ followers and so many other things. Folks, denying ourselves for one who loves us as Christ loves us is not really denial. It's worship. It's having the right perspective. But there's this person of the arrow, this person of discipleship. His name is Jesus, and he's worthy. And we decide, you know what, I need to be discipled to fall more in love with him. And then I want to disciple others. Not only do we love him, but love with him because he deserves our love. Jesus said, not only do we love him, but we love his word. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we've got to abide or remain or hold to his word. I can't love Jesus without his word. This is not some kind of, oh, I love Jesus, I feel Jesus, it's all experience Jesus. No, Jesus is revealed through the word. Now, we don't worship the word, we worship the God of the word, but man, you can't separate the two. And so when I am understanding the person of the arrow, I'm falling more in love with his love letter to me, his rebuke to me, his counsel to me. I love his word. James 1:22, though, says, if we love this person of the arrow, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, it's one thing to have Bible study. It's one thing to have information. It's one thing to have knowledge. But God says to us, be doers of the word. That's an indication that we love the person of the arrow. We're obeying. Yes, sir, Lord. You say that. I've got a rotten attitude. I'm so sorry, God. I don't know what I was thinking. We're all sinners saved by grace. But when we're in obedience, we're saying, God, would you rebuke me if I need it? Because I want to be like you. And so there's the person of the arrow. Discipleship is all about Jesus. Jesus tells us in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If we're going to be about discipleship, we've got to be about sharing Jesus because we love Jesus and we want other people to know him. And finally, in Proverbs 27:17, discipleship, this arrow thing that's all about Jesus, is done in the context of relationships. We need each other, church. We really do. I love the spirit that's here. But have you ever played the church game? You know, how you doing? Oh, fine. My life's crumbling. Oh, Micah, I'm doing great. Good to see you. Yeah, and I walk out the door. My life's crumbling. You've had that happen probably here where you've talked to somebody and they've been telling you for months they're doing well. And then you hear two months later they're divorced. It's like, what happened? No one knew. We've got to be genuine and authentic with just a few people, not the whole church. But it's important in discipleship with this person of Jesus that in his body, the church, we are authentic with a few people if we're going to be good disciples and disciple makers. Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Oh, you sharpen me, I sharpen you. When we get together and talk about God's word and we confess that we're not living God's word and we ask for prayer that God's word become more real to us, man, good stuff happens. We fall more in love with the Savior and we fall more in love with each other. I've got an accountability partner. I just met with him yesterday. I meet with him every 2 weeks. And I'm going to tell you a couple things he confessed. No, I'm not going to do that. That's what. I'm just kidding. But he tells me things and I tell him things that they stay in that room. But he sharpens me and I sharpen him. And it helps me stay on track to be a disciple and to be a discipler. But see, it's all about Jesus. It's about his body, the church. It's about relationships. And if we don't do these sorts of things in relationships, we can get a lot of Bible knowledge and Bible study. But if we're relating to people and we're taking the word in the context of relationships, God will make that word come alive to us and make us like his son. And so there's, folks, the arrow of Jesus. the person of the arrow. It's so important that we understand that discipleship is about Him. There's the penetration of the arrow, where discipleship penetrates our heart and we say, man, I'm in. I'm convicted. It doesn't matter if God moves me to Nebraska. God bless you, sister. We're still going to be a discipler in New Nebraska. That'd take a miracle, but God can do it. We're going to be a discipler in New Jersey or Spain or wherever. Why? Because it's God's penetration into my heart to say, I'm going to be a discipler. But there's not only the penetration of the arrow and the person of the arrow, but there's the people of the arrow. And who are the people of the arrow? The people who need discipleship. It's all of us. Everyone in the church needs to be intentionally discipled, to be poured into the fundamentals of the Christian faith so that we can live the Spirit-filled life and devour the Word of God and memorize the Word of God, and be strong in prayer and be sharing our faith and understand our spiritual gifts and be able to implement them in the church. We all need those fundamentals. The people of the arrow are the people in the church and the people outside the church that need to be reached with the gospel and discipled. And you say, so how does all this work? Well, it works how your church is doing it and your leadership is doing it. You let the Holy Spirit lead you. We strive to be the disciple God's called us to be, and then we're on alert to say, God, is there somebody you're bringing into my path that you want me to invest in their life? Lord, would you lead me? And sometimes He just surprises you and brings somebody in your life, and it's like very obvious. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. He didn't say it this way, but this happened. In these days, He went up to the mountain to pray, and all night long He continued in prayer to God. Wow, that's convicting. I might go up to the mountain and pray for a while, and then I kind of get sleepy. You know what I'm talking about? He continued all night in prayer to God. And what happened after He prayed all night long, church? And when day came, He called who? His disciples, and chose from them 12 whom He named apostles. He prayed all night long, God, would you show me who the men are that I need to pour into that you want to use to spread the gospel throughout the world all night long. He wants us as we're growing. And so there's the people of the arrow that are all around us. And the Lord wants us as we're growing in personal discipleship to start thinking, Lord, who is it you want me to befriend or get to know and pour into? And I tell you, He'll answer that prayer. And you may not have to pray all night long. That's right. Amen?
That's right.
Okay. You may have to. And you're looking for, and I don't mean this badly, after the holidays, we all gained a little bit of weight. I understand that. But you're looking for fat people, okay? That stands for faithful, available, or teachable. So don't get offended. Say it with me. Faithful, available, teachable. As we're trying to determine, Lord, who would you have me invest in? You're looking for someone who's coming to church pretty regularly now, not someone who comes every 3 months. They're not going to go deeper with God. They're not going to make Jesus Lord of their life if they're playing around at church. But if they're faithful and you see they're coming more and they seem to be available and they really are willing to meet whenever you are available and they're open to instruction, they're teachable, they're hungry for the things of God. Wow. Those are the people we need to be discipling and pouring into. And folks, because this statement is true, more is caught than taught. It's so imperative for us as disciplers to keep growing, to stay humble, to stay loving, not get puffed up. You know, the Bible says knowledge puffs up.
Well, you know, I was reading down there in Leviticus about the different offerings, and I think my Sunday school teacher was wrong on that one kind of wave offering, and I just thought I'd rebuke him.
You know, man, go get on your knees and repent. You know, we don't, knowledge puffs up. But if we're walking with God and we're really listening to God and He's changing us, then people catch from us a heart for God. A passion for God, a passion for the Great Commission and for His glory and for His kingdom. And so it's important. I love listening with each other because more is caught than taught. I love it. And I won't even take us there. These verses are all up there. And I know I'm running out of time, but I'm going to skip to the next verse, if we will. Acts 9, verses 26 through 28. The people of the arrow. I don't know if you know this, but Saul got saved, gloriously saved in Acts 9, and he tried to join First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, and he had some problems, okay? He had some background, some issues. And look at verse 26. And when he, Paul, Saul, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, transfer his letter. You know what I'm talking about? And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. We can understand that. I mean, he had been dangerous. But Barnabas, the discipler, Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And so Saul went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. What if Saul didn't have Barnabas? I mean, he may have just said, I'm going to go it alone. Or this whole church thing doesn't work for me. Jesus, yes. The church, no. But Barnabas saw Saul, led of the Spirit, and said, I'm going to put my arm coming alongside. This guy's got potential. He is fat, squared. You know what I mean? Faithful, available, teachable. Wow. And because he invested in Saul, God used Saul to become the apostle. Well, you know, turn the world upside down with the gospel. Folks, there's people of the arrow. They're all around us. There's Sauls all around us. There's new believers all around. There's folks that need us to invest in them and see God do a great work in their lives. And I'm going to close with this next verse, Proverbs 14:4. Where there are no oxen, the manger is... But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. I've never really dealt with cattle. Now, I've had 3 dogs at a time. We've had cats. But boy, I tell you, if you've got bulls and cows and oxen, you got your hands full, folks. But if you do the work to feed them and take care of them, they'll do the work of helping you to be able to plant your crops and harvest your crops and so many things. But where there are no oxen, yeah, the manger's clean. It's like, hey, that looks nice. Yeah, well, I know we haven't had oxen for a long time, but it looks nice, doesn't it? But I tell you, I'm going to get dirty. It's going to be a little stinky sometimes if I'm going to see God do something that is going to be life-changing in the harvest. We've got to invest in the oxen. We've got to feed. We've got to clean the oxen. We've got to clean up after the oxen. And ladies and gentlemen, when we do that, I'm just telling you, God brings a harvest because of that. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to see the arrow. See, don't miss the arrow. When you look at the FedEx truck, think discipleship. And I would encourage each of you not to just say, wow, our church is a discipling church, but I am becoming a discipling church member. Because when every one of us sees the call of God and discipleship penetrates our heart, God says, now I can make you a disciple who becomes a disciple maker. I trust that you're going to continue to rally behind your pastors and your leadership to say, let's have Faith Baptist Church here make a huge impact in Newport Richey and beyond, because God's only plan to reach the world is the arrow of discipleship.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.